Hello and welcome to Ordinary, a podcast that aims to help Christians live for Christ in everyday life. My name is Josh Bannister, and each week I'm joined by Graham Nichols and Mark Bentham, both pastors of Christ Church, Haywards Heath. Well, we find ourselves on the verge of another important vote here in the United Kingdom. Parliament has stalled en route to a controversial Brexit and now awaits the decision of the British people in regards to the future leadership of this country. As Christians, how should we approach this general election? And how should we engage with politics more generally? These questions are discussed in today's episode. Enjoy the podcast, and I'll catch you on the other side.
I'm Mark Bentham.
And I'm Graham Nichols.
And I'm Josh Bannister, and you're listening to Ordinary. Welcome back to the podcast. We are deep into December at this point, and we're excited for Christmas, but we're taking a break from Christmas-themed podcast to talk about the dirty word politics today. So strap in, it's going to be really controversial. Everyone's going to give their opinions, and we're going to end up with a terrible argument. Is that right?
No.
Well, hopefully not amongst us, but I think that's the whole point, really. I think the political discourse and debate has pretty much most of my lifetime been very difficult, very polarised. That was the word I was looking for. So there's always been kind of rubbishing the other's point of view entirely. There's not a lot of respect for the other point of view. But I think that's more public. I think mostly in sort of politics that's happening in sort of private, it's been fairly friendly. I think generally like the Houses of Parliament and, you know, other sort of local councils and things, there is generally a fairly much of a getting on. I think that's changed in the last sort of half dozen years, that particularly through Brexit, but I think also maybe through other things and just our general behaviour, has got more irritable the way politicians talk about and think about each other, and possibly the way we might talk about and think about each other who have different political views.
Before we get into that, can we just, because I'm aware that people might listen to this podcast later on in the year or whenever they will listen to it, so can we give a little bit of context to why we're doing this podcast now?
Well, because it's an election.
Yes.
And yeah.
Just the general political climate at the minute.
Yeah. Well, here in the UK, if you're listening abroad, please do email us and let us know. That would cheer us
really
up so much.
Yeah, exactly. Mr. Winter.
Yeah. Anyway, on a Thursday coming up soon, 12th of December, we have an election, and it's an election in the context of a parliament that's been pretty paralysed because the government of the day doesn't have a majority, Boris Johnson's government. So it's an election that's been called really out of necessity because it's pretty much the parliament's in deadlock. There are lots of other issues that we can talk about sort of around political decisions and policies and everything else, but I suppose the polarising one is Brexit. Should we continue to leave the European Union and how? Or should we reverse that process and try and find our way back in again or stop going out of it? So I suppose that's the context politically.
But where we're planning to, because this is ordinary and we're seeking to help ordinary Christians live out the ordinary Christian life, is we're really thinking about how do we then think about what are the issues that we should be thinking about. So our intention today is not to land on who you should vote for or any kind of our views per se, although they might creep in or they might be hinted at, but mainly to really talk about what are the issues we need to be thinking about as we think about who to vote for. And to think about how do we take seriously our responsibility as citizens in the UK and particularly as those who are followers of Christ. So that's where we're going and why we're doing it.
Yep. So we're going to talk about discourse, the way we talk. We're going to talk about whether Christians should vote at all. Yeah. I wanted to ask a question early on, just to kind of big picture about politics and the church and Christians. In the Bible, Israel is what we call a theocracy. You can flesh out what that means. That's part of my question. But is the ideal in our modern day now that we should seek and long for that kind of political situation, or is that not the case? And in answering that, could you flesh out what a theocracy is?
Theocracy is a nation ruled directly and explicitly by God, I think, is probably the way of describing it. By both.
I think that is what it is.
Yeah. I was slightly hesitant.
I'm not sure how else you would describe it.
But I suppose it's more, I mean, we would say that we'd want our nation to be ruled by God, but it's more of the direct and explicit and detailed kind of rule of a nation and the affairs of a nation by God, by rule.
No separation between church and state.
Yes, or so much in the Old Testament, no separation really between a kind of self-determining state over here and God giving principles over there. Mm. It's more God actually directly intervening, controlling, legislating for how the nation should behave.
Through his kings, through his prophets. Mm.
Yeah, and through his law, yeah.
Through his word.
And there seems to be no implication in the New Testament that that's to continue.
Okay.
Now, some might argue, well, that's just a pragmatic thing, that the church was born under the rule of the Roman Empire. And so Paul and the others were just talking about this is how it is, that the church is separate and the state's over here and it does some good things and does some bad things. So some would argue that. But I think I'd argue that because the gospel has gone out to the nations, and so the one nation is no longer the one nation under God. I don't think any nation is a theocracy anymore. You'd still, though, want the nation to be as closely aligned to God's word as is possible in the way it makes its laws, but that's not quite the same as a theocracy. Is that fair, Mark?
And I think the biblical, I mean, let's be fair, there would be those believers out there who would say that actually we should be moving and should be doing all we can to bring the nation to a theocracy kind of position, and would think in the end days that might come about. But I think it's the kingdom language that is used, is that the way in which the kingdom is fulfilled, which was Israel, is now fulfilled is Christ, which is much wider, broader, more comprehensive than tied to one particular nation. So in one sense, of course, the end day, we will have a kingdom where we will be ruled by the King, who is the Lord Jesus. But I don't think that's tied to a nation, and therefore it, you know, the desire to want to see Christian rules, laws, thinking influenced in our culture is right. But I think where we can overstep that is when we start to think, actually, we are therefore a Christian nation. I just don't think you see that. And I'm not sure we were ever a Christian nation per se, but I think we were a nation that was heavily influenced by Christianity, which are why some of our laws are what they are and where we are today. Mm-hmm. You're looking puzzled there, Graham.
No, I was just thinking, Christendom was generally not a good thing. I was just pondering that it's worth probably saying that democracy is not biblical either. So although we're happy with democracy, and I think, as Winston Churchill said, you know, there's lots of other systems, but they're an even worse kind of thing. He said it better than that.
He really did. He said something like, "The quote right now," but we're all thinking.
He said something like, "You know, democracy is not that great, but compared to all the other systems, it's the best sort of best of the worst." Mm-hmm. I don't think we can say it's a Christian principle that there should be democracy. I just don't think that's anywhere, because I just don't think the gospel writers or Jesus is that bothered about it, because he assumes that the church is doing the church's business and influencing the world and all those sort of things, and that that'll happen however it happens, however the nations are set up at the time. So I don't think we could say democracy is absolutely a Christian principle. I think democracy is what we have, so I think, given that it's what we have, we should use it.
Okay.
I think it's a pretty good system. It allows people to express themselves in the way we've got to set it up. It allows people to express themselves, but it also allows sort of orderly government to happen in between the times that we express ourselves, with people who are properly in charge and have the power and authority to do it. So I think it works pretty well. Well, yeah, yeah.
You know, they're equipped in that sense. They have, you know, that's why we allow them to rule on our behalf, because they are able to function in a way that, you know, we can't all get involved in every decision and understand everything to the depth that, you know, we expect these guys to do so.
Yeah. Well, I suppose if you were living 1,000 years ago in this country, I don't think you should be beating yourself up every day saying, this is not a democracy, you know, I've got a king ruling over us and, you know, it's terrible. I think you take your place in whatever the society is at
and
the time.
That's where Paul would say, isn't it? I think Romans 13, you submit to the governing authorities. He doesn't say you submit. He was talking about submitting at that point to Caesar.
Yeah.
So part of what I hear you saying is that it's politics is not the primary concern of the Christian, but also that you're saying that it, that doesn't mean that Christians shouldn't be engaged and part of the political process.
Yeah.
So to what extent should Christians be engaged with that? We'll talk about discourse in a little while, but
yeah,
in terms of what should we vote? Should we be active in the conversation? Give us some thoughts on that.
I think all those things, really. I think we should vote. I can't think of a good biblical reason why we should not vote. There's a few people, but I think it's a bit eccentric, really, who would say, I probably just insulted a few people, but who would say, well, you know, it's the two kingdoms, we're a separate kingdom of God. We're not in the kingdom of this world, so yeah, we just need to kind of ignore it and just get on with doing church stuff.
In fairness, that would be a Jehovah's Witness position.
Yeah,
they
but
would
I've
say
known
you
some,
don't vote because yeah, you don't want to be, you know, you're going against the gods.
Yeah,
purposes.
And I've known some Christians who have taken that view as well.
Okay.
You know, Christians who I would respect to have that view, but I just don't think it's biblical.
Mm-hmm. I think Romans 13 would suggest that submitting to the governing authorities is exercising a vote, because that is part of how you submit to an authority.
Yeah, I'd actually be very relaxed if voting was legalized. That sounds a bit. Does it sound a bit terrible? I think it'd be a good idea to make people vote.
Totalitarian.
No. Because you still allow people to vote for whoever they want to vote for.
Sure.
But I think, I suppose people should have the right not to vote. But I think it would just be good to make it, like you have to have a good excuse for not voting.
Right.
I think you ought to participate, really.
Okay.
Yes, we both think that.
Yes, so actually we ought to legalise that in our church.
Why?
Because I think it's part of your responsibility. It's almost like paying taxes.
Okay.
That you're actually contributing to the democratic process. And sort of playing your part, and there's a cost involved in that you've got to think about it, and that you've got to, you know, walk or drive to a polling station or write a letter or whatever as a postal vote. But I think it's a sacrifice you should make in order to help your community. So I think as a Christian, to influence your community of good is more of an obligation rather than just a, well, shall I help my community or shan't I? This is like a really easy way of helping society by voting, contributing by voting. So I think you just should.
What about to pick up on some of Russell Brand's rhetoric around this whole thing?
Yeah.
Who would say, who has said and preached not to vote, out of, I guess, a sense of he used the term tacit complicity, as in you're being complicit with a system that is broken, and actually in order to fix that system, it might be better to not vote at all. Is there ever a place for that? I mean, I know that right now in our country, you might say that that's not appropriate now, but is that ever appropriate to not comply?
I suppose maybe if the system was completely corrupt and wasn't taking any notice of your vote, it wasn't having any material significance, and was being ignored or manipulated or rigged, I suppose there might be an argument then, but I don't think that's a fair argument here. I can agree that in lots of ways the system is broken, but I think that's just to do with sinful people and adrift in society, of which Russell Brand and other people are a part, really.
I mean, it's like all things. If you're putting your hope in the political system, you're going to be devastated.
Yeah.
And part of the problem is that sometimes is that, and I think this is where we get ourselves, I think Christians do it, is that we think as long as we get the right party in, everything will be okay. And the truth is, they are. And even if they are believers, they're still working within a system which is fundamentally also non-believers as well. So you're trying to, if you start to think that they're going to be the way in which everything will be resolved and things will all happen and everything will be nice because you get the right party in, the hope is in the wrong place. At the end of the day, our hope is still always in the sovereign Lord and the one who rules over all things. And we're trusting that he raises up the right party or puts in place that which will, in some sense, further the gospel in some way. And I might not be able to see that or even understand it, but I trust that God is using these things for good and ultimately for his glory and for the good of his people and ultimately for the spread of the gospel in many ways for the fame of his name. And so I think as Christians, we kind of overplay the political card and think, right, we've got to get the right government because then everything will be okay. That's an overstretch. But to go the other way and say, actually, I'm not going to have anything to do with it. I'm not going to vote because it's a corrupt and what the system is to underplay our responsibility, which is to be good citizens. And to be a good citizen is to vote. You know, that's part. So I think there is a sense that that's my responsibility as a citizen of the United Kingdom. Part of my responsibility is to vote. What does that mean, therefore, as a believer? Well, to be a good citizen must mean I should vote. I think that's how we play out.
Yeah, and we won't talk much about this, but get involved as well. So if you can, get involved in local politics, get involved in national politics.
There's
relatively few Christians involved, partly probably because it's both the lifestyle and the culture and everything else that you kind of think, I'm too busy with church, you know, to go to all these political meetings and get involved in the local party and work my way up. And you know. But which I think is a shame because, you know, if someone in our church came and said, I want to start getting involved, in fact, someone did, you know, we would encourage that to get as involved as you can. And, you know, we think that is a good thing. So I suppose the question might be, you can ask a question, Josh.
Well, I was just saying, well, if you've got something you want to add, that's fine. But to move towards talking about discourse and how we communicate with one another, how we talk about the opposition, before we start then perhaps thinking about principles that we think about when we vote or what we're looking for in party politics, things like that.
Yeah. Well, I suppose the fundamental is that we speak respectfully and on most things, we accept that there could be a different point of view. I don't think, for example, there's a biblical case for Brexit or there's a biblical case against Brexit. Mm-hmm. So I think given that, this must be a wisdom issue, kind of weighing up things. So we must speak with respect about the other side. And I, to be fair, I see a lot on social media from Christians, which I think is both disrespectful to people who have a different view, slightly sometimes insulting to their intelligence, and quite often disrespectful to those in authority. So-and-so is a liar, and sometimes kind of ridiculing things. You know, there are people who think it's a good idea for there to be a... it's not an effigy, is it? I think it's an effigy if someone's dead. Anyway, of Donald Trump, or a big balloon of Donald Trump, you know, floating over London. I don't think that's a good thing for a Christian to celebrate. I think a kind of ridiculing of someone who's duly elected into power or is in power by God's providence. And you can say, I don't like this about Donald Trump. I don't like his policy on this. I don't like his character in this area. I don't think he's truthful. You can say all those things. But I think for a human being to ridicule him to that extent, I think is wrong. But it happens at a kind of a lower level with just comments, I see. Quite a lot. Well, so I think we need to moderate those.
Absolutely, because I think at the end of the day, in terms of how we speak about someone else, at the end of the day, they are made in the image of God. So you're still going back to fundamentals here. So they may be an elected leader, but they are fundamentally made in the image. But more than that, they've been put in a place of authority over us as well. So therefore, there is a right respect for that. And I think when Christians start to kind of undermine that by in how they speak or pulling people down in the wrong way, you know, we're absolutely free to disagree. But I must be careful, and I must still be respectful. I think sometimes we need to be much more generous in terms of that is generous in allowing, not kind of thinking I know what they're thinking, or I get their motive, or I've really understood their motive. Because I think sometimes I think I know what their motive is, and I may not. But I think a generous spirit just says, okay, we're going to disagree, and I may not agree with how you do things, and I think actually. There may be some things where we need to call out and just say, actually, biblically, that would be unfounded. But how I do that kind of speaks volumes. And I think that what you're saying, one of the concerns was, when Brexit happened, there were people, within the church who had different opinions of that. You know, there were people who were absolutely adamant we shouldn't, leave the European Union. And there are others who were absolutely, we must remain. But that's okay. But
I think you said the same two things there. But
did I?
Yeah, yeah.
One, leave and remain.
Oh, no, sorry. I thought you said we mustn't leave on your left hand.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Okay. Remainers and Brexit.
There were people
who
were
very different. But they disagreed fundamentally. But how we then speak. But people get heated.
Yeah.
You know, because we make it such an issue. And I think when it comes that heated, I think sometimes it means I've lost sight of the sovereignty of God, and I've lost sight of where my hope truly is. And actually, that, you know, I just need to calm it back down again, and just we can disagree. That's all right. Yeah.
But I think it is good to talk about it, though. So being respectful doesn't mean we stop talking about it. We say, sure, I can't talk about politics in the church. Mm. I think it's reasonable. And I do chat with people about the current situation, you know, and views. But I think you walk carefully through it, respecting and kind of accepting this could be controversial. I don't want to tramp on someone's kind of own conscience and sort of carefully thought view, but it's worth kind of questioning them. You know, so someone says something about Boris Johnson or Jeremy Corbyn, and you say, well, I'm not so sure. And you sort of push back a little bit,
yeah,
but you don't, you know, you don't flare up sort of in response, you know, in either way.
And I think it'd be fair to say, as leaders, we would never preach a particular position. Mm-hmm. There may be times when you have to do that. There are certain issues, but I don't think there's ever a time where we've ever from the front preached or suggested or hinted at which way anyone should vote, mm-hmm, on the Brexit issue or in an election, because I just don't think that's the church's position or role. But we will generally just kind of ask questions or encourage discussion or give opinion. And of course, at the end of the day, I have an opinion, you know, which may be different to yours or to Graham's. But that's okay. But there's a difference between me as a leader functioning from the front and me as Mark Ventham just kind of talking.
So there's, I think, yeah, so it's really important, isn't it, then, to have an attitude of charity when we're thinking about other and the opposition,
generous,
be a generous spirit and compassionate spirit, recognizing in humility that you don't understand their motives, and not to demonize them as wrong-headed, and to have an appreciation in our conversations of how complicated things actually are. To stop making things so black and white when they're not black and white, and assuming that we're right when probably we don't know everything. So that's great. What about as we approach this election and there's a real choice to make, what are some of the principles? You said rightly that you don't want to tell people how to vote to, you know, in this podcast, but what do you want to say to people about how they should be thinking when they're voting?
Could you say, I think on all that, humility. So it starts with our humility. In other words, what you're just saying is I don't understand everything, I'm not going to, so I need to ask questions and I need to think. And I think sometimes I don't think hard enough, or what I think we see particularly coming out of the US is kind of one track politics. In other words, it's just one issue politics, sorry, so I'm only going to vote on a particular party on one particular issue. And I don't think there's so much an issue in the UK. I think it's more of an issue from what I've observed from a distance in the US, that there would be kind of much more one issue. So I think we just got to be careful that we don't kind of say, right, I'm going to vote for this party because they agree with me on this one issue, often around the pro-life kind of issues. But I do need to think about much broadly about lots of the issues and start to think about what I think about how I do that. So some of the issues
would be. You might take a different view in a particular constituency if, say, there was a pro-life candidate who was very close to winning. Maybe you might lend them your vote, even if some of the other things you weigh up, just because there's so few pro-life candidates. I think I might weigh that up as part of, but I wouldn't say there's a pro-life party that you should always vote for. I don't think the Christian party, there's a couple of Christian parties in the UK, I don't think they're meaningful to vote for. I'm not sure it has any significance. I think you're right.
And that's where the way our government works, isn't it? Is that sometimes you can be voting for a local MP because actually may not be the party you want, but you want the local MP because maybe they're a believer.
Yeah.
So you might vote for them on that basis.
Yeah.
But actually, I want the, you know, a party, a different party maybe. Yeah. So they are things to weigh up. So I agree with that.
So some of the things, just to answer your question, because I think we might run out of time in a minute. I think upholding security and peace is a key thing for a government to do. So you've got to weigh up which government will do that best. It seems in the New Testament, you know, the rule of law, the sword and all those things are part of what the state does to restrain evil. Is this government going to be good at restraining evil? So I think that's one thing. And within that, you might use some Christian principles about what you think is evil and what you think is good. So restraining evil, I think care for the poor and for refugees is something else to weigh up. Are they going to create a climate and environment where people who are vulnerable are cared for? I think caring for the environment encouraging enterprise, all those things I think are biblical. Weighing up which party does those best is more subtle. You know, there's a more socialist position, which would be, broadly speaking, the state doing more, taking more tax, and then the state controlling lots more things and giving up. And, you know, very broadly, a sort of more capitalist position. I mean, they're all capitalists in some way or other, even the socialists. But a more capitalist position, which would be, in principle anyway, a smaller state, individuals taking lots more social responsibility, and the state being a sort of catch-all for when things go wrong rather than controlling everything. So I think that's a philosophical, political judgment to kind of weigh up. Do I think this argument makes more sense? A bit more capitalism, or do I think this argument makes more sense? A bit more socialism, you know. I mean, none of them are so extreme in either way, but you know, I think there's that to weigh up.
And then you're going to filter into that educational policies.
Yeah,
you know, where are they thinking about what they're going to drive schools?
I think that's what I miss. So you don't even filter it in. I think you just got to add it to my list.
Yeah, I think you've got to think about that. I think you've got to think about how they speak, where they stand on lots of other issues that are close to with the biblical viewpoints. But in fairness, let's face it, most of the parties these days all kind of agree on lots of things which we would disagree with.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, but are there any particular policies that are vehemently anti-gospel that you need to be aware of? Or are they proposing such things which will curb the freedom of the church or the gospel in our land? So I think they're all the factors that you want to be taking to, but you've got to think about them all in a, what do I think? And again, Christians will agree, disagree on these, even within.
But it's so helpful to have this discussion, I think, because I think the danger of this election is going to be that it is such, there's one issue.
Yep.
It's such a central part of this election that all this other stuff's going to get forgotten. But I think it's so right for you to highlight all of that.
And I think Brexit, which will be significant in this election, as you say, I think that again is a fine judgment. So some Christians might argue something which I can't even see, but about Europe being more pagan or something. So there's that kind of level of argument. But there's another more subtle one to do with, do we think the nation state is kind of sacrosanct? So, you know, the integrity of the nation state and being self-determined is the most important thing, or combining nations together and giving away lots of sovereignty is more important because that's somehow more Christian. I can't see a strong argument either way, but I can see arguments in either direction. And I think that's part of what you weigh up to do with Brexit. I think there's a how you view democracy and how centralized, localized you want democracy to be. And I think that's just a judgment.
Yeah.
Do I want to give away some democracy, some democratic rights in order to have some collective value, or do I want to try and hold it more within my nation state? That's a fair debate to have.
Yeah. And but again, thrown into that, you're going to think about what will it impact on immigration, refugees, the ability to move around Europe to be able to proclaim the gospel.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking Europe is probably one of the increasingly most secular and probably one of the greatest mission fields, you know, you're going to think about what will that mean on that. Now, actually, the reality is, either way may not have that much impact on it. You know, we might be out and you still have the freedom, you know, at the end of the day. But I think there are things you just got to think about.
And it might influence what kind of Brexit you want to happen as well. Mm-hmm. So you might say, I really want a negotiated Brexit where lots of things are tied up to do with free movement and or a degree of cooperation for movement. So the gospel's not impacted. So you might say, I don't want Brexit, or you might say, I do want Brexit. But with a gospel hat on, you might think, I want Brexit, but I want it in a way that doesn't impede gospel work, say.
Now, I know we're pushed for time, but I want you to give me just 30 seconds on prayer, because we want to bring in prayer in this, don't we, and how are we going to pray through this situation? So can one of you, not both of you, one of you, give me 30 seconds to wrap up on how we pray?
Well, I think in all of this, isn't it, I think it's I think there's things you're going to pray for. One, you're going to pray. You're never going to just pray that your particular party will get in, because let's face it, there'll be believers on the other side who are praying a similar thing. But I think you are praying that the Lord's purposes will be done. And I think you're praying for your own heart. You're praying less for the nation, for a unity, for godly leaders, for leaders that will further the gospel and give opportunity. But you're also praying that actually the Lord would, you know, would protect the freedom of the gospel in this country for the churches. But if he doesn't and persecution comes about, then we trust that that's his purposes as well. I think we're praying for our own hearts, how we guard our own hearts, how we speak, how we think about others. And I think ultimately we're praying that we will keep trusting in the sovereignty of the Lord, whatever the vote, whatever the result, because it may be that actually what comes about is not what I wanted, and I may feel disappointed by that, frustrated by that, but actually that's what I could be praying. Lord, help me to trust you that actually your purposes will be fulfilled and worked through ultimately for the glory of the Lord Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Ordinary. We hope you found it thought-provoking and useful. If you do have any thoughts or questions, then do get in contact through our email address, ordinary@cchh.org.uk. Join us next time for the final episode of 2019.